keeping things going now. We're going to check in on Orange County government. OrangeCountyNC.gov is the website for more county government news. County Commissioner Penny Rich, the chair of the board, joining us on the phone right now. Commissioner, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
Aaron, I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So,
yeah,
it's been another busy day. We have to start with the, and we've been mentioning this, but this was your signature on the emergency declaration, extending that forward to October 31st. So, what exactly does that mean for Orange County?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I just want to clear that up. The thinking behind this was that our boards are getting very close. Our boards, me and the county commissioners in the three towns, getting very close to resuming a regular meeting schedule. And in order to make sure that we can continue to meet virtually, we do have to be in a state of emergency, whether it be locally or whether it be statewide. And we're looking into whether, if the governor lifts the statewide, if we can still meet virtually. But right now we know we can. Our order was only extended until August 31st. And we were waiting, of course, to take direction from the governor to see if he was going to move from phase two to phase three. We know now that nothing is happening until September 11th. So we went ahead and extended. We normally extend 1 month at a time. This time we did it for 2 months for a couple of reasons. Again, the meeting calendar and voting on the meeting calendar is really important. We also were told way back when that the spike in our cases would not come until the second week in September. And so we just want to be prepared for that. We have a lot of our board members are very, very strongly voiced, which you can imagine, about not meeting in person.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for example, Orange County Board of Commissioners, at the seven commissioners that we have, five of them are in one category or another for not being, being advised to stay away from being inside more than 10 people, more than everything. So only two of us, me and Dorson, don't meet any other criteria, but everybody else does, whether it be age or some underlying condition. And the same, if you look at all the other boards too, you have some concerns. So this is one of the reasons. The other reason is, of course, when you're in a state of emergency, you have the ability to govern a little bit different, and the emergency services has the ability to gain a little power. So if they wanted to get additional PPE, or if they needed the health department needed to order, more testing sites, we could do that in the state of emergency without going back and getting approval and all that. So those are the two main reasons. The restrictions don't change. Everything that was in the order before remains the same right now. And the mayors and I, collaborate all the time and with guidance at the health department. We went through October 31st, and we'll wait to see what the governor says on September 11th as far as how the phasing changes.
Yeah, that was going to be the next question, and I know you've been kind of going along with Governor Cooper as much as feasible on this. So if we get to September 11th or mid-September and we are able to move into the next phase, will there be discussion about possibly changing the emergency order in Orange County then too?
Yeah, and we will have that discussion. And if we're able to vote on a calendar, that's one of our main priorities here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're good through October with that virtual calendar. If we don't vote on the calendar, every time we have a meeting now, we have to call a special meeting. And the rules during a special meeting are very different than a regular business meeting or a work session. You have to follow the agenda to the T. You can't add or change anything on the agenda. And as you know, when we open up a meeting, I always ask, are there any additions or changes to the agenda? Can't do that during a special meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the main main goal. So going back to the question, though, I don't mean to avoid your question, but I need to drive that home because people are concerned that we're locking everybody in to their house for the rest of their lives. No, that's not true. But yeah, the mayors and I are really going to have to sit down and get on our Zoom call and figure out what we need to be doing. We were relieved. I know you're going to move into the UNC decision, but we were relieved a little bit about UNC going all online. And as you know, one of the reasons we were the first in the state to close down the restaurants at 10 o'clock is because we saw, you know, students were lingering in restaurants that became bars from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Mm. And, you know, the governor followed us on that one. We didn't follow him. So, you know, we'll have to review it and see, you know, what can stay, what can't stay, and really basically how our community is reacting to, you know, the UNC closing and what's happening in the middle of September.
Yeah, speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government. And good that you brought up UNC. That was where I was going next. And actually, just while we were talking, just in the last couple of minutes, another Alert Carolina message just came through. And I haven't been able to mention this on the air yet. So this is breaking news now that they've identified two more clusters of cases on and around campus, one at Morrison Residence Hall and one at the Zeta Psi fraternity house. So that's now six clusters of cases on and near campus. So what does all this mean for Orange County? Obviously, there's concern about the health and medical side of things with an increase in the number of cases. We're seeing that in Orange County's numbers now, too. And there's also, obviously, the impact on just life and business and culture and society in Chapel Hill and around Orange County as well, which is not good with when you're at a point where you just can't have classes anymore.
Yeah, and that's right, Aaron. You know, we depend a lot on our student population. We depend a lot on what the sports bring. They fill the hotels, mm-hmm. they eat at our restaurants, they pay taxes. And, you know, I just want to emphasize how bad I actually feel for these students. I talk to a lot of them. I'm a Keenan Scholar mentor. I talk to a lot of the folks from the Gilliam School of Public Health. I've done a lot of judging in classrooms with them. And you know, the Daily Tar Heel reporters, they're all wonderful students mm-hmm. and people to chat with. And I just feel really bad. This is the second time in 5 months that they've been, you know, literally kicked off campus. And, you know, think about your college experience or your college career, and, you know, you have 2 years in a row where you can't be there. So it is going to be a huge challenge to not have these students, you know, regularly going to restaurants and buying things and spending money and just living. But at the same time, of course, our first concern is their health and welfare and the health and welfare of all our residents. So let's just talk about the numbers for a second. They are ticking up, which we were, you know, we knew that was going to come as soon as they started identifying cases on campus. The cases on campus that they're identifying, if those students have a permanent address in Orange County, they are part of the Orange County count. So 2 days ago, you saw a jump of 67. Yesterday, today, you saw a jump of 48. I'm sure tomorrow we'll see something similar. And let's be clear, not all those cases are UNC students. We certainly still have some community contact cases that are in those numbers. But, you know, I'd say more than half or three quarters of them are close to the student population. But again, we don't know that the numbers that are coming out of the university are going to be different than the numbers on the Orange County website. Because of the student's permanent address, if it's not Orange County, they don't go onto our database. And that comes through the state and then back through Orange County. So that's, you know, we need to make that clear because folks are going to say, well, wait a second, that, you know, UNC is telling us they have five clusters. A cluster is at UNC is considered five. We actually in the county consider a cluster two. You know, so there you go, five times five, you got 25. But we know that if there's five, there's 10 times more than that. I mean, that's kind of what the thought is. So, you know, we got UNC has a lot of cases right now, and it was a good move to go online. They probably should have never allowed an opening, but they did. And now we have to move forward to try and make sure that we're keeping our community safe.
And you're exactly right. I mean, all of these students on campus, the undergraduates, the graduate students, some of them are still going to be doing stuff on campus, but just the whole UNC community is just having everything just thrown up in the air over and over again. And this has relevance in a whole bunch of different ways. We had people today that we were seeing online bringing up the fact that this is an election year. This is also a census year. Like, people are moving back and forth from one place to another. How are they getting counted in the census? And what if they're requesting absentee ballots? Are they going to be mailed to a location that no one's at anymore now?
Yeah, it's very confusing. And I, you know, I'm trying to walk some folks through those questions and answers. And right now, it's hard to actually know how many of the students required or put in for absentee ballots. I haven't really talked to anyone that has done that. And I talked to, you know, about two or three students a day on average. I haven't talked to anyone that was planning on absentee yet. They were going to go vote in person. But I'm sure that's happening, and we're going to have to figure that out, because we want everyone to be able to vote. There is no question about it. And anything and everything we can do. People are sending me questions on Twitter. Just keep sending them to me, and I'll try and get the answers as quickly as I can. But you're right. It's also a census year, and the census, if you were living on campus, you would be counted part of Orange County, which is something that is important to us, because if you're living here 9 months out of the year and you're using our services and our facilities, we need to be able to get money from the state and the federal government for those services. It's just throwing everything up in the air. And then just go back to our economy for just a minute. We rely heavily on sales tax here for our economic development and our schools. And if we don't have that sales tax, we have to go back and rely solely on people's homeowners tax. And that's something that we've been trying to get away from for years and years. That's why we had such a success with economic development. I was one of the commissioners that pushed for economic development over and over in the past 7 years. So we're going to take a hit, just like other college towns and just like towns in general. It's not going to be good. And it's as government is 6 months to a year behind, this could linger for a couple of years.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, other things going on in Orange County that folks ought to know about.
Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we are not quite in session yet, as you know. So right around now, we start talking about what we need to bring back. And I've been talking with our deputy clerk, who's been taking the lead in the clerk's office, as well as the person that is the director of creating agendas for us. We put a lot of things off, thinking that we would be back to meeting in person in the fall. And so things like honoring is a really happy story. We were going to honor Major David Caldwell for his service in the deputy's office I think it's like 35, 40 years he served our county. And we were holding it off because we wanted to celebrate him and, bring his family in and enjoy, shaking his hand and putting him on TV and getting all his photographs. Well, we can't do that, right? We just can't. But we don't want to let that go anymore. So things that we've been holding off on that we didn't do in the spring, we're going to come back and hit the road running in the fall. And so it's going to be busy. Our first meeting back September 1st. It's going to be a full agenda, and I think, I'm going to advise commissioners to make sure they get something good to eat before they get online, because the next couple of meetings in September are going to be, they're going to be long meetings. There's just no way around it. We've got to pick up some of the slack, and we've got to continue doing business in Orange County. We just can't hold off on things anymore. So yeah, I mean, I don't have the agendas quite down yet. August 24th is when we'll start doing the agenda review, and I can give you a better idea then. So that is next week, actually. So next Wednesday we could talk a little bit more about what's coming up on the first, at least the first meeting in September. We'll have a good idea. It's going to be busy. I'm just telling you, it is going to be a busy, busy fall.
Again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government. Commissioner Penny Rich, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. See you next week. Awesome.